From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Say you have an idea. It's a great idea. You spend years working on this idea. Then you bring it out into the world and it's fresh and new and everyone says, great idea. It is a happy story, isn't it? But, you know, entrepreneurship is never that easy. And this is something that Madison learned quickly.
My name is Madison Samarjan and I'm the founder and CEO of Mata.
When Mata launched in the beginning of this year, it totally owned its space. There was nothing quite like it.
So we partner with some of the biggest retailers and fashion brands out there and use a combination of AI and human stylists to recommend outfits in the swipe left, swipe right dating app profile.
So just to be clear about what that means, you go onto Mata, you tell it about your style, and then it starts pulling together these complete outfits for you from a wide range of retailers. They work with everyone from Nordstrom, Bloomingdale's. They carry everything from Prada handbags to awesome t-shirts. If you like what you see, swipe right. You can even buy everything right there in the app. And if you don't like it, swipe left and the app will learn from your responses and serve you more outfits. And when Mata came out, it did so with a bang. It got great press in Womenswear Daily, Glossy, Business Insider. And Madison, she is a very reasoned thinker. She knows what she's working with. And in this case, she had an idea that people loved and that people were passionate about. That is very clear. She also knew that she had raised a little bit of money from angel investors to grow it out and that she is just fresh out of college. And so she needs to be careful with her limited budget and frankly, limited experience. So she figured that this first year in business, the year 2020, when she launched, would be very focused on customers and reasonable growth.
It's going to be slow and steady.
But then something big happened. And I don't mean the pandemic. This big thing actually happened just before the pandemic. And what happened was this: competition. And not just any competition, but very strong competition. When Mata launched, it was the only thing like it in the marketplace. But only a few months later, an app called The Yes came along. And it is run by the former COO of Stitch Fix and had raised $30 million from investors.
Do you remember the moment where you heard about The Yes?
Oh, 100%. I was getting coffee with two of my advisors and we were looking at our app store description and underneath ours, we didn't really see anyone underneath for a while. And then all of a sudden it says similar apps, The Yes. And I was like, who's this? So I did some Googling and of course I was freaked out at first, but I really wasn't surprised that someone else was coming along. I mean, quite frankly, I'm surprised that we were first because using AI in a mobile marketplace seemed like such an obvious thing to me. And there was such a large white space in the industry. I knew someone else was going to come along. It was just when that actually happened, here I am, fresh out of school. I spent 4 years writing poetry. And here is this industry veteran that has more experience in the industry than I have life on this earth. So that was a big moment. But my advisor turned to me in that moment and she goes, blinders on, Madison.
Blinders on, Madison, because the honeymoon phase of the launch was over. And now it was time to really move and move fast. Now, this is a story that is unfolding in real time. Madison's app was in beta in 2019 and officially launched in January of 2020. She discovered her new competitor not long after, and we talked for this podcast in the beginning of August. The changes that she's had to make have happened very fast. The new ideas she's come up with have recently launched. But I think it's really valuable to hear from someone like Madison in this time because everybody in some way or another is facing off against something that feels much bigger and more intimidating than themselves, whether it's a competitor or a life change or the impacts of a pandemic. And I want you to hear Madison, a first-time founder, fresh out of college, facing down an industry veteran with deep, deep pockets. And I want you to hear her composure, how she's focused on ideas, how she's keeping those blinders on. Because what else can you do, really, except focus on the task ahead? Freaking out does not get you anywhere. Action does. So on this episode of Problem Solvers, it is Madison versus the Giant. And her story is coming up after the break. As companies begin to find their footing and grow, everyone knows the road ahead won't be easy. You need every advantage to succeed, and that's why smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system, which gives you an edge on the most important parts of your business. With NetSuite, you'll have visibility and control over your finances, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. It's everything you need all in one place. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite lets you manage every penny with precision. You'll have the agility to compete with anyone, work from anywhere, and run your whole company right from your phone. When you use NetSuite, you are joining over 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite to make it happen. And that goes beyond just the tools NetSuite offers, because the company surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook of the top strategies they're using as America reopens for business, and they want to give it to you for free. Here is how. To receive your free guide called 7 Actions Businesses Need to Take Now and schedule your free product tour, just go to netsuite.com/problem solvers. Again, to get your free guide and schedule your free product tour right now, go to netsuite.com/problem solvers. netsuite.com/problem solvers. Okay, we're back. So before we get into Madison's response to her competitor, let's talk about where Mada, the app, came from. Because like so many founders, her idea came out of a very personal problem. And it happened in college.
So I was rushing to get ready for a first date, and I have way too many clothes, but I was freaking out about it. And I just turned to my roommate and I was like, oh, I wish there was an app for this. And she was like, okay, why don't you make it? And I was like, no. But secretly, I was like, yes. I knew a lot about what was going on in the market because I kept really up to date with what was happening in the fashion industry. And I saw so many retailers and brands trying to use AI to reach my age customers, but everything was gimmicky. And I didn't really feel like they were helping with anything. They were showing me cool mirrors when I walked into a store, but I was like, that doesn't actually solve an issue of mine. So I decided to build it up my freshman year, and then we launched right after I graduated.
And full disclosure here, I met Madison when she was in college and still developing Mada. She had emailed me one day out of the blue to ask about interning at Entrepreneur, and honestly, we don't really have a formal internship program, which means that setting up an internship is often a lot of extra work. And so I usually just tell people that we're not taking on interns. But Madison wrote an amazing email, like so on point. She had done her research on Entrepreneur, on me. She had made a detailed case about how she could be valuable and where her skill sets were. And I just thought, all right, this is someone worth looking into. So I passed her email along to a colleague who forgot about it. And then maybe a month or so later, I realized that this email of hers had gone unanswered. And so I replied and I said, hey, look, I'm sorry, we dropped the ball here. We don't really have an internship program, but wishing you the best. And she responded and said, hey, totally understand, but I see that you're giving a talk in Boston soon, and that's where I go to college. So I'd love to buy you a cup of coffee if you have the time. And that was true. I was going to be in Boston giving a talk soon. She had found it on my website. And this was so resourceful that I had to say yes. So a few weeks later, we met at a coffee shop in Boston, and it was just very clear very quickly that Madison is smart, resourceful, ambitious, and I literally walked out of that coffee shop an hour later, pulled out my phone, and emailed a colleague to say, find a way to get Madison an internship, which is what happened, and she was great to work with. And, I mean, funny moment of how resourceful Madison can be. On our call for this podcast, her hair kept brushing up against the earbud microphone that she was using, which created this rustling sound. Maybe you heard it a little earlier in the show. So I had asked her to put her hair back, but she didn't actually have something to tie her hair back with. So
I'm going to use a face mask for a ponytail because I don't have a ponytail.
That's the most pandemic interview thing that I've ever seen.
So anyway, the lesson, I think, of that whole internship story is that if you want something, you have to be equal parts smart and relentless. Smart by itself can be overlooked. Relentless by itself can be very annoying. But equal parts smart and relentless, that is impossible to ignore. So okay, back to the saga of Mada. Getting this app off the ground was a pretty big learning experience all by itself because Madison made a very classic founder mistake, which is that she reached beyond her own company's capabilities. It started when she went talking to retail brands, trying to get them to partner with Mada so that it could carry their products.
I wanted to get as many brands on as possible, just because I think I'm a little overambitious. And so it got to a point when we were at 25 brands and my advisors were like, Madison, you have enough. Let's just stop. And I didn't really listen to it because I didn't want to.
And because an exciting change had happened. At the beginning, she had to chase brands around and try to convince them to get on board. But once she had hooked a few big partners, others started calling her. And that was exciting.
And I learned my lesson because 3 months later, we had almost 3,000 brands on and millions of products in our system. And then it just crashed. We were supposed to launch in September, but our technology just couldn't hold all of those brands.
Which was a great learning experience, actually, because it taught her the importance of selectivity. Instead of just onboarding anything she could find, she learned to be very strategic, vetting partners to make sure that they were the right fit for the Mada customer and also for the Mada technology. And so by the time she launched, she had a very large catalog of products available and also the technology that could scale up to manage it. And like I said earlier, when Mada launched, Madison thought the company would spend the first year growing steadily, slowly, and focusing on customer needs. She had some ideas for new products, but figured that they would come later in the process, certainly not until the fall, if not much longer. But then that competitor came along, and she realized she needed to adjust her thinking.
So it kind of lit a little fire in me. And I think we expedited the process of launching new features, which that's the perk of us. We can throw something out there and see if it works because we are so small and new.
Now, I'm going to spend the rest of this episode telling you about three big things that Madison did in response to this competition. And the first is all about customer service.
So when we were first starting out, we were having issues updating our stock because the product feeds we were receiving were a little bit delayed. So customers would buy something and I'd be like, oh no, it's out of stock in their size. So in that moment, I would reach out to them myself and email them and be like, I'm so sorry, this is out of stock, but here are 10 more options that we think you'll love based on this. And those customers that bought something that was out of stock are our biggest customers today.
Madison had discovered that it isn't really about perfection. It's about connection and trust. By stepping in personally to handle something that went wrong, she earned longtime customers. And even before her competitor came along, that got her thinking, is this an opportunity? Is this a way to differentiate her company? What if everyone, literally everyone who downloaded the app, was provided with what she calls a style concierge, who could answer literally any style question they had? Now, this sounds like it would be a premium service, but Madison didn't want to make it a premium service. She figured that her large competitors already offer some version of premium service like this. I mean, you can pay for personal styling at Stitch Fix, and her affluent customers probably already pay for something like this. But what about her core customer, who is young and has some disposable income, but not enough to go hiring personal stylists? Well, for them, if a style concierge is just included in the service, that is a massive reason to love Mada. Madison figured she'd get around to launching a style concierge eventually, maybe later in the year, who knew? But with a big competitor looming, she decided to move on it a lot faster. It was a point of differentiation and a way to utilize her startup's small size. I mean, she is much smaller than her deep-pocketed competitor, but that means that she can create a more intimate experience and learn directly from her consumers. And also, she can turn around and move really fast. So she launched the Style Concierge over the summer. And the results are that customers are treating Mada like a friend.
One emailed in and was like, I wear the same thing over and over again and I'm bored, but I'm kind of nervous to try something new. Any tips? My team, we were not expecting that kind of question.
But, you know, they were happy to answer it. And even in the few weeks since Style Concierge came out before we talked for this show, Madison tells me that it has already led to deeper engagement and more time spent on the app. So in short, step one in Madison's plan to respond to competition, identify ways to turn strengths into weaknesses and then speed up the timeline in doing so. And here is step two, marketing. Madison has a budget for marketing, which she had planned to use very strategically. She was thinking about, you know, that mistake she made in the beginning, onboarding too many brands and crashing her system, and she did not want to do that again. She did not want to, this time, spend a ton on ads and get more customers than she could handle and scramble once again, or spend all this money on ads that didn't really work. This was going to be, she figured, a slow marketing process. But then, of course, she saw her competitor at her back, and so she had to speed things up. First, she spent money on this service where sorority sisters with social followings will promote a brand, and that did pretty well for her. And while she figured that she'd get into real influencer marketing at some point later on, now she wanted to explore it ASAP. But, and here's such an important but here, but she did not go all in. Instead, she did this.
What we really kept in mind when finding our partners and how they were talking about Mada is our customer is that young, digitally savvy customer, and they're not looking for necessarily someone who's super aspirational. They're looking for someone that they can very much relate to and that they have sort of some sort of personal connection. It all comes down to that personal connection. So the first influencer that we chose, her engagement rate was sky high. Like, we interviewed a lot of different influencers to see where it would be at, and hers was 10%, and she has a very, very large following. So I knew that if people were responding back and talking back to her, then that was going to be our best bet. And from the first post that she did, my data dashboard actually started alerting me. An anomaly happened. What is this like? So we had to go in and see, but it's because people loved and they trusted what she was saying. And we did it cross-platform. So we did both Instagram and YouTube. And we noticed that YouTube was so much more successful because she put it in her weekly vlog. And so she was just chatting there, talking about her first time camping, all this stuff she was kind of nervous for. And then she started talking about Mada. And because she was explaining it like she was their best friend, just talking to a best friend, people loved that versus seeing this very put together picture on Instagram that has that in the caption. And so I'm glad that we tried that on YouTube first, because that completely changed my approach to how we're going to do influencer marketing for the rest of the year and continue on to do so.
That's a great insight. But the more important insight, the more universal insight, is something that Madison did not say explicitly here. She has a marketing budget, but even though she's aware of this giant competitor right behind her, she did not go and blow her marketing budget all at once. She didn't make a big spend. Instead, she interviewed a ton of influencers, picked one, and saw how it went. And that way, she learned this really important thing about the power of YouTube, which she would not have had at all if she had just spent her money all at once the way that she originally thought she was going to spend it.
We have to be very strategic in everything. And I think it allows us to then make the changes to the app after we have the feedback and see the results, so that the next time we invest something, it'll go even better.
So that's step two in the response. Speed up the marketing, but not so much that you lose your ability to strategize. And here is the third thing she did to survive in a competitive landscape. She listened very closely to her customers and pushed herself to be open to the moments when she was wrong and her customers were right. Because here's the thing. Madison, like every founder, had a vision of what she was putting out into the world that was totally different and unique. And in this case, it was an outfitting platform. Mada, the outfitting platform. It was a platform that showed you outfits, full outfits, smartly created outfits. And she figured that was the thing that made Mada really, really special. But then customers started saying that they wanted something else too.
People started emailing in. I'm very shocked at how engaged customers are. I'm never like this with other brands. But they were like, I love this new brand that I discovered in an outfit, but can I see all the products you carry by them?
And the answer in Madison's head at first was, no, you can't, because we are an outfitting platform. That is what makes us special. But Madison had done something important. Because the thing is, she knows how she thinks. She knows that if she has an idea, she relentlessly pursues that idea. I mean, I have experienced that about her firsthand.
By age of 12, I had like my whole life planned out. I am a planner. I know what I want. And I'm also such a control freak.
And that could be a very good mentality. But in business, it has its downsides. Like, you might be stuck on your idea so much that you miss the things your customers are telling you. So Madison has created a solution for herself.
And that's why I've made sure to build up a team that have some people that are exact opposites of me, because I love when people on my team challenge me. We're constantly like saying, no, we don't like this idea, or we need to go here, to each other, and to be able to have opposites in a room, that's when I'm really pushed.
So in this case, Madison's team helped her realize that the outfits were a great starting place, but Mada should offer what people want. And if people want to also just search individual items by brand, then let them do it. Give it to them. So Mada did. And it moved fast, because once it knew what people wanted, there was no time to waste.
So you can either type in what you're looking for, like white dress, or you can see like the list of the brands we love now, or you can hit see all brands. So if you hit on one of them, you can literally see everything we carry from them. So it's a little bit more of that typical e-commerce experience than just the outfit.
So that's the strategy. And I think it's important to remember here that Madison isn't doing anything radically different because now she's up against a competitor with $30 million in investor money and leadership that has deep experience. I mean, instead, she is really doing what her advisor told her to do. She's keeping the blinders on. She moved up her timeline on new products and marketing, and she became very flexible in understanding and responding to her customers' needs, but she's still thinking strategically. She's still focused on the big picture, and she knows that if she gets into panic mode, she's just going to blow through her money and make short-term decisions that aren't good for the long term. And that is how you hold your ground in a competitive space. It isn't about becoming something else, and it isn't about losing your mind. It's about doing what Madison does best. It's about being relentless.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.